Be seated.
God bless your wonderful hearts. Always great to be with the family of God and to fellowship with you and to open up the greatest book in the whole world, God's Word, huh? The book of truth, the truth. This morning I'd like to talk to you about choices. Life is all about choices, isn't it? You chose to be here, thankfully. Choices we make over and over and over again, don't we? You chose to wake up this morning. The alarm went off, and you either chose to get up or let's do another 10 minutes. So we choose what we read. We choose what we watch, don't we? Now, I remember as a kid, when it came to watching television, there was only three channels. Not much to choose from. But nowadays, we've got hundreds of channels. I mean, we just surf all through them, don't we? A lot of choices. There's an expert in the field, psychologist, who said, on the average, people make 200 choices about food during the day. Really? Amazing. That all the things that we do are a result of choices that we've made. We're going through a remodel in our house. And so it's real interesting making choices about colors on the wall, carpet, all kinds of things. And, you know, Jeannie and I are working together, and we all have the, you know, we both of us want the same thing, right? No. So we've got, let me see here. You'd never guess the name of the rug, not the rug, but the carpet, what it's called. You could, 1,000 guesses and you wouldn't get it. Chipmunk. Chipmunk carpet. Now, I hope for, animal rights people that it's not from a chipmunk fur, you know. I don't think so. Let's see. The walls are going to be herbal mist. And, of course, on the ceiling, it's got to be Swiss coffee, right? So we make choices all day long. Why don't you go to 2 Thessalonians, if you would, in your book, your wonderful Word of God. You know what? God makes choices too. Think about it. God chose to put together life. He chose man to have two arms and two eyes. I guess he could have given us three or four eyes. Whatever he wanted to. He gave spiders a bunch of eyes, didn't he? God chose to make the beautiful sunset. God chose to love mankind in the most intimate and wonderful way. He chose life the way he wanted it. He chose to have his word available to mankind. He chose how man could have a relationship with him. We have the Old Testament and the New Testament, don't we? God chose to set up a wonderful arrangement by which his creation, mankind, could have a relationship with him. And what is so terrific about it, he chose to do it by the love that he had for us. It wasn't a whim. Well, yeah, nice stars and things like that and this little planet out in the middle of nowhere, I think I'll put a human being there or two. No. He chose to have a little earth, but a beautiful universe that supports this little planet. And to have you and I, human beings, to love and to be loved by. It says in 1 John, And I'll just quote the verse because you're in 2 Thessalonians, aren't you? 1 John 4:9, it says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." This is what God chose to do. His manifestation of love was to send His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And He paid the price for an event that occurred long ago with Adam and Eve, right? That the fall of man, and God had to make it right by giving His Son to die for mankind. But He did that out of love, and for the purpose that we might live through Him. Well, what makes that connection? What makes the connection between God and man? Is believing. We believe, Romans 10:9. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart. God raised Him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved, made whole, complete. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? Word of God. That's how we're going to get the faith, the believing, so that we can believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and get born again. Man can choose to believe that a relationship with God is by works if he wants to. He can choose to have a relationship with God any way he wants to, but what's the truth, what's the right way and the only way to have a relationship with God? Through Jesus Christ, right? Because it's through Him. God manifested His love through Him so that we could believe upon Him and get born again of His Spirit. No greater choice in life is there for any human being to choose than to become a son of God. To believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and that God raised Him from the dead. No greater thing that you can believe, decide to do, to choose to do, than to get born again of God's Spirit. To have a relationship with God as a son. In light of all our efforts to find God and to have a relationship with Him, there is a truth about God that is important to know. He really loves you. And He has chosen you. You haven't chosen Him. I mean, yes, we did choose Him. But you know what? He chose us. He chose us. And look to what extent He did to choose us. So, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, please. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. God has chosen us. In the beginning, for salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. We believe the truth of God's Word, right? And we got born again of God's Spirit. Go to Ephesians, if you would, please. Ephesians chapter 1. I want you to see that God chose us. He really wants to have a fantastic relationship with us. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with some spiritual blessings." No, all spiritual blessing. God does not hold back anything from you. Nothing. All. He's a God of all. Has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us. Are you an us? Yes. We be us's. Yes. If you're born again of God's Spirit, you're an us. He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now, the best I understand this, that we've been chosen before the foundation of the world, is the fall, where man, Adam, fell. The best I understand this, maybe there's greater light on that. But way back in the beginning, God made a decision to choose us. And how did he choose us to be? Did he choose us to be just a regular old person, not having much going on? No. He chose us to be what? Holy. Holy. Holy is like really special. You know, it's that special plate you put in the china closet and you never use it. You just look at it. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Oh, it's so beautiful. Isn't it nice? And I try to go use it. And gee, no, no. Jeannie says, don't take that. That's special. But you know what? God's not like that. He wants us to be involved. He wants us blessed. We are special and without blame. You know, the biggest thing for Christians today that limit them from the power of God is they feel condemned. They feel that God really doesn't like them, that they have made mistakes, they have sinned, and God remembers what you did 10 years ago, and because of that, he's not really going to bless you. Well, what does God say in his word in regard to sin and forgiveness? Does he remember them? He casts them as far east as from the west. He does not remember them anymore. Why do you want to remember them? God doesn't. God doesn't. So we are without blame before him in love. Man, oh man, oh man. If we can choose to believe God's word of what it says about ourselves in our relationship with God, wow. We're making a good choice. How do you choose to accept this? Do you believe this is true? Do you believe we're just talking Sunday school religion here and it's just, you know, when we go home from here, we'll live another life? Man, no way. This is the word of truth. Man can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We have gotten to the place in our life that we believe God's word is true, haven't we? And it is. It is. We are challenged in our world today to make choices, aren't we? Thousands of choices a day, I bet we make. I mean, most of the time we're just not cognizant of what we're choosing to do. We just kind of do things. And who is the God of this world that helps us make choices? Satan, devil, the evil one? You know what? He's out there wanting us to make choices. Not the best choice, but bad choices. Or maybe not even bad choices, but okay choices, but not the best. God wants us to make the best choice. So the God of this world, we've got to deal with him, right? Oh, yes. Because he's out there wanting us to make choices based on worldly facts and information. He does. So how do we deal with this situation? How do we deal with this dilemma? Folks, I have for you this morning three ways to help you make the right choice. All right? So let's take a look at this. Our three ways to help you choose what is right. And the first one, the first key, if you will, is to remember that God chose you. Just remember that God chose you. You ever been in those situations where you have a pickup game, basketball, and, you know, Mike and I are choosing teams, and, you know, we're choosing all the tall guys and the ones that are real fast and everything, right? And you have you ever been the last one chosen on the team? How do you feel, you know? It's like, you all have been chosen for the team, and I'm the last one left. How do you feel? Not too good, right? But that's not God. God has chosen you. You're on his team. And he has enabled you with great, fantastic abilities. God so loved us, He started the most fantastic relationship. In turn, we should love Him and praise Him back, right? When you got to get this in your head that God has chosen you. You're on His team. You're His kids. 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter chapter 2. You know, if our day goes by without us recognizing this and choosing in recognition of that, we're on His team, we're His sons, that we don't praise Him and recognize Him, we just need to stop and do a checkup from the neck up, the old neck up checkup. That's what we got to do. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." He's chosen you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And what should be our response? Praise Him. Now, if you're not praising God by the time it's lunch, woof, you do that checkup, neck up, checkup, right? Because if you haven't, then what have you been thinking? What choices have you been making? Not that God chose you, right? Out of darkness into His marvelous light. Boy, in the morning, we want to think about God and remember that He's chosen us to be His child. We're His kids. Number two, remember who you are in Christ. Remember who you are in Christ. I challenge you tomorrow morning to get up and to, within 5 seconds, "I'm a son of God. I'm going to have a great day." Is that a lie? Is that, you know, hocus pocus? Is that something that we should... Why? It's the truth. Why not? It's the truth. Why not wake up and realize the truth of that day is you have Christ in you, that you're a son of God. Right in the morning, put a paper, you know, write it on something when you wake up. Boom, there it is, right in front of you. Put it on your alarm clock or something, you know. "I'm a son of God." We've got to remember this because the adversary is going to get you thinking, "Oh my God, it's Monday morning. Woo, what a day I've got. My golly." Wake up saying, "My God, this is a great day. I'm a son of God. I've got the greatest thing. I got an opportunity to walk with God today. He hasn't gathered me together yet, so look out, world, here I come." Why not? That's the truth. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. The latter part there. 1 John 4:4. "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." Talking about devil spirits, the evil one, Satan, the devil. You're greater. You're greater than him. Think that. Choose that as you make decisions throughout the day. Let our priorities be correct. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Barney knows this backwards, I think. This is a great verse here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. This is a good one to memorize. You kids are doing really great. I'm sorry we can't really host children's fellowship with the remodel we're doing. But next Sunday, I think we'll be able to do that. So you children here are fantastic. It's a reflection of how great the parents are, really, isn't it? Good job, parents. Okay, 2 Corinthians 10:5. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now what happens when we see a verse like that? I'll tell you what happens for me. That's just too much. Every thought, come on, God. I can't do that. We can try, though. We can try. And wouldn't it be better to try and do that than, I can't do that? You're making a choice, right? Why not make a choice that says, I'm going to go for this. Maybe I can't do every one, but I can do a lot. I can maybe make a mistake and remember, whoops, and walk on God's word correctly. Why not? Remember that old, we've got that get out of jail free card, don't we? Forgiveness card? Yeah. You know, we can make some mistakes in the morning and stuff, and then we realize, oh, let me lead captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Forgive me, Father. Thank you in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiving me. What happens to the past? What happens to those errors? Where are those mistakes? They're gone. They're nowhere. They're nowhere. God doesn't see them. So we can move on, can't we? We can do our best. We can remember our Father is full of mercy, grace, and forgiveness. And we can take advantage of it too. Set goals for yourself to be Son of God minded. Son of God minded. In the morning, we want to practice. We want to start our day practicing the presence of God. Not in a fear way, but in a positive way. That here's a resource I have. I've got God Almighty on my side. Yeah. As long as you continue to remind yourself of who you are in Christ, you will be able to walk in His power. Simple as that. Number three, remember, you know the end of the story. You know the end of the story. You've got the victory in Christ, don't you? We all have been called to function differently in the body of Christ. As we endeavor to do our best, we know we already have the victory. We know the end of the story. Christ is coming back. 2 Corinthians, yeah, yay. I mean, we know the finish line is there, folks. We can see it. We know what's at the end. It's the gathering together. Christ comes, we're gathered together. Eternity really starts big time. We get a whole new, brand new body. It's going to be the greatest thing we could ever imagine or think. And that's an assurity for you, no matter what you think. But why not choose to know and think it? So you're going to the finish line. You know how big it is. You know, yeah, you get bumped along the way, but you can always pick up because you know the greatness of what's at the finish line. 2 Corinthians 15:52 says, in a moment. First Corinthians. 15:52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Verse 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Philippians chapter 3, please. We can do our best and grow knowing we already have the victory in Christ. What a tremendous motivation to stay on course. The toe of the line. To never quit because we know the finish line. We know what's at. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, you're born again of God's Spirit. The next greatest thing you can do is walk with the Father. He's got you placed in the body of Christ where He wants you. He's got some fantastic things for you to do to move God's Word over the world, how to bless the believers, how to function, and what a fantastic thing that is when you just tap in and you walk with the Father and do what He's called you to do. Oh my goodness, that's the way to live life. That's our aspiration, is to walk with the Father and do His will. We can press toward that mark of the high calling. We all have that high calling. God is so loving and gracious to allow us to live a holy and fulfilling lifestyle. So let's keep choosing our Heavenly Father and His Word. Let's make sure our choice is God and His Word, doing His Word, living His Word, living the love of God. Let's continue, or start if that's where you're at, being a dynamic part of moving God's Word over the world. Let's choose Him forever, okay? All right. Well, I'd like to pray to close out, and God bless you guys. Heavenly Father, we're very, very grateful and thankful that You've chosen us, that we're no mistake, Father, before You, but we are special, we are sanctified, holy Father, we are Your best. No matter who we are, what we do, we are so, so important in the body of Christ. So, Father, I pray for each and every person here that they can recognize these great truths, that they can walk out with You hand in hand and just do the great, wonderful, exciting things that You've called all of us to do. So thanks for loving us and just taking us in Your arms and loving us the way You do, Father. So thank You for these wonderful things and for this wonderful love that You've manifested toward us. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 All right.